Hello and welcome to the second episode of Boiling Steam's podcast. This is your host, PSP Poner 300. And again, I have with me Ikiandro, who is the owner of BoilingSteam.com. And this time around, we have with us special guest James Ramey, who is the president of Codeweavers. For those of you who aren't aware who Codeweavers is, they are the people behind the crossover project, which essentially is a commercialized version of Wine with better service support. We sincerely appreciate the feedback that we have received from our last podcast, and we decided to do another one. So we'll get some insight into what these guys' plans are for the future of crossover, and we'll get started right away. James, let me ask you, what got you into Codeweavers? What's your story involving that?
My story is I am a technophobe. I love technology. I was very fortunate that when I was young, my mother was able to get me an Apple IIc, and I fell in love with technology at a pretty young age, and I've been playing with it ever since. And what really drove me into Codeweavers specifically was the opportunity to do things that in technology that no one had really done before. Importing applications and games to the Linux and Mac platforms is something that a rare number of companies actually do, and Codeweavers is one of them. And I love games and gaming, and the opportunity to get games to work in Linux and Mac is appealing to me. So it got me really excited when I started with the company over 9 years ago now, and I've been able to work with a number of different game companies around the world in getting their games to other non-Windows platforms. So it's been pretty exciting, but it's always been something I've been interested in, always something I've wanted to do. So I've been able to kind of follow that dream.
Cool. So
yeah, I get to play games for a living. How's that? At a very young age, my father said that gaming would never pay, and here I make my living in this world. So,
well, that's great. How did you do on the recent crossover sales?
Crossover sales, the technology is becoming more and more adaptable. It's getting broader support in a number of areas. So, in a lot of ways, it's very good. I think software sales in general, across the board, have weakened for a lot of companies, and Codeweavers is one of those companies. We're seeing kind of a little bit of a slump, and I think that's partly due to the fact that PC sales are down. I think that's due to Mac sales are down, and Linux sales are down as well. So we kind of suffer from that a bit, but we've been able to keep our head above water just because we're working with so many other companies around the world right now, and supporting their applications on a variety of different platforms. In the future, Wine and Crossover will be making its way to the Android platform. We've had some success with that recently, and we think that'll become a bigger part of what we do in the future. And part of that will also be porting games to the Android platform. So there's some excitement for the technology as it continues, like I said, to get broader with greater support. And as it does, there are more and more applications, more and more games that are going to be able to run inside the technology.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. We're still around. 20 years and we're still here.
Do you have any estimation of how many registered users you have for Codeweavers at this stage? I mean, for Crossover.
We don't know the exact number, but we estimate it to be somewhere between 700,000 and 900,000 registered users. It's difficult
Holy
to tell
crud.
Because it's difficult to tell because not all of our users are under support. We probably have about 50,000 users that are currently under support right now, but we know that there's a great number of users that have been using the product for a number of years, have never really changed their Linux operating system, and they've been quite happy with the support that they've gotten for their specific Windows application. We also know that there's a number of users that have torrented the software to some extent for their specific games and applications. So we kind of kind of believe that there's probably about 750,000 and 900,000 users out there that are utilizing the technology, which is good. It's probably one of the more successful open source projects that isn't a Linux distro.
Have you seen the registered user base growing steadily over time?
We have. We keep appealing to more and more people because the applications we support continues to grow. So we continue to see support, and we do get a lot of support for people that have been using the technology now for well over 10 years. So we have a good core group of people that have utilized the technology for a long, long time. And we do have a growing group of people that are excited about the latest game or the latest project we support, and they're trying to make that run on their Mac or their Linux computer. So we've seen some growth on the front end as well too.
In terms of user base, how is the split between the Mac version and the Linux version?
We think it's about a 60-40 split between Mac and Linux. So about 60% of our users we think are Mac or are utilizing a Mac, and the other 40% right now are Linux. But again, that's really difficult to tell because a Linux user may be utilizing the product for a very, very long time with little to no support from us. Whereas Mac users, because the changes to their operating system on a fairly regular basis are much more prevalent. So we have a better understanding of how many Mac users, but we think it's about a 60-40 split. And that doesn't account for Wine users. We don't know, you know, a 60-40 split. We know that there's a number of core Wine users that have been using the technology for a number of years as well. So we can't really necessarily count for them when we look at crossover sales.
Thank you. So for Wine users, I mean, currently there's a number of kind of available options in the market. You could use the vanilla Wine, you can use Play on Linux, which is a kind of customized version to manage different versions of Wine on the same computer. And then you can use crossover. So what kind of things are your users saying about crossover and how it differentiates itself versus the other kind of options, the other ways of using Wine currently?
Well, the positives tend to be that of all the different derivatives out there, crossover tends to be the most stable. The downside to that is there are a lot of things that run currently in Play on Linux and in Wine Staging and a couple other derivatives that don't currently yet run in crossover. So we think, you know, some of these other you know, Wine-based solutions are utilizing a little more cutting-edge technology and a little more cutting-edge support than we are. But we think that our technology is a lot more stable. So for a user who's looking for a more stable experience, we're a good fit. But for someone who's trying to run the very, very latest games, they're probably looking at another option right now until we catch up. So,
all right. So we are doing a survey on Boiling Steam about every quarter. And we've been asking questions in the past few surveys about Wine usage and crossover and the different solutions like that. Mm-hmm. And when we did ask the question, there's something that came up, like 75% of respondents actually had never had the chance to try crossover before. And about 8% had never heard about crossover in the first place. So I just wanted to ask you, do these numbers kind of make sense to you? And how would you address those kind of issues, like to promote further trial?
Those are surprising to us. We've always felt that we've had a fairly strong reputation in the Linux community, and for people not to have tried us or to not even have heard about us is really a failing on our part. We're finding that it's harder and harder to reach Linux users. There seems to be, you know, a couple core places where Linux users go to get information and congregate, and forums and things, but it's tougher and tougher, we think, to reach Linux users as, you know, as compared to Mac users, which tend to be a little more straightforward. So, you know, that's something that we're going to have to continue to work on is our messaging out to the Linux community. in some ways, we probably have neglected the Linux community because we just assume they know Wine. If they know Wine and they're looking for a different experience, maybe they'll try Crossover. But that's something we definitely have to take a look at. So when you tell me numbers like that, I'm surprised. I'm surprised that 35% of the people haven't at least tried it, being that we have a free trial. And if people do love Wine and they want to continue to see Wine thrive and grow and develop, purchasing a license at Crossover is a very easy way to show your support and put money back into the Wine community. So if nothing else, that's a message that we found does resonate with a lot of Linux users. Linux users tend to be very generous and very devoted to the technologies that they utilize. So we've always had a good response from Linux users in terms of wanting to contribute, if nothing else, just to keep the Wine project going forward. So we'll have to do a better job of reaching out to more and more of those users here in the coming months.
How old is that survey, Ikeandro?
That was done in December. We have a new version, the new results coming from the last quarter very soon. But this should be pretty consistent at that stage, I think.
I was going to say, I think back then for December, the sales probably weren't that good for Crossover, but I think, more so in the recent months, I would think that Crossover has gained a little bit of sales because I've seen it on sale quite often. Mm-hmm. So, I wouldn't know, but just saying.
Right, and it got more price as well with the 20th anniversary. So probably recently the awareness has been going up.
We'd like it to keep going up and up. That's something like to see more of.
Yep.
You mentioned the Linux community is hard to reach. How about the Mac community? Do you think it's easier to communicate to them? What do you do with the Mac community, for example, to reach them out?
We do find that we're able to get on Reddit. Occasionally we find that we're able to get, our blogs in front of a lot of people. It seems like in some ways the Mac users are a little less discerning. They're willing to read more of those types of things. Whereas, the Linux user, they tend to be harder just to reach in general. At least that's what we've found. That may not be consistent across the board, but and there's more conferences and conventions and Mac shows and Mac focused products just because of the product line from Apple, from iPad to iPhone to MacBooks. So there's a lot more information about Mac users out there. Whereas, Linux user can go to his local, PC store, purchase all the components, grab a Linux distro and be up and away with, very little notice or fanfare. Mac users tend to be more visible, which makes them a little bit easier to target in terms of marketing and things like that.
All right. So going on to the Crossover or Wine ports, there is a recent developer who is working with CodeWeavers for the Linux port of Legends of Eisenwald. Now, could you tell us a little bit about how the process of working with him started and went?
Well, it's interesting because we've been communicating back and forth for quite some time, and so far, we've gotten Legends of Eisenwald to run in Crossover, so we've been able to support his game, and we're slowly starting to take the next couple of steps as to what that actually means for them. Hopefully we can provide them with a version that they can test on different platforms, and then for them to decide, if they want to look at, the support and development that's required, to fully support the game on a non-Windows platform. And then kind of figure, where we go from there. But these things tend to be a long process. So it isn't something that typically happens overnight, just because there's a lot of research that goes in on the part of the developer themselves. They've got to decide if this is something they really want to do, and they have to estimate what the market is for their game. And, you know, if they're able to recoup their funds and investment into a non-Windows platform, and if they're able to support that accordingly, which means they have to have hardware and technology on site to do so.
Right.
So it's a big process, but so far, it's one that's been moving forward. And I've played that game for several hours on both a MacBook Pro and on a Linux computer. So I can tell you that it does run. And you know, to what extent, you know, and I haven't played it on Windows yet. So to, you know, how it compares necessarily to the Windows version, I don't know. But that's something that the developer can figure out fairly quickly and determine if that's what they really want to do. But so far, so good.
And how did the developer start to get in touch with you? How did things actually happen? Can you tell us a bit more about the process to kick off the discussion with the developer?
Well, let me see if I've got kind of the first couple conversations that we had. Back in November of 2015, they had announced a Kickstarter project, and they were looking to, you know, fully develop the Windows version of their game. And my QA manager took a look at that and just thought, you know, based on the requirements that they're listing, maybe we can get a not for resale copy and see if we could get this to work. So I reached out to Alexander Duget and asked, you know, if it'd be possible to get a couple licenses, just something we could test in house. And he was very gracious in doing that for us and got that to us. And we were able to determine just based on that we can at least support and run the game initially. And we've done a little bit of work development to make it run better on our end. And then we've had kind of conversations going back and forth between the two of us as to, you know, what the next steps are. But it was just something we had seen initially out in the wild. And thought, you know, based on these requirements and based on this type of game, it may be something that we can do, and it's kind of led from there.
You mentioned about it was not an overnight process, and there's a number of things to consider to have full support for a non-Windows platform. Can you elaborate a little more? What do you mean by full support? Do you mean supporting several distributions, or do you mean something else?
Well, there's a combination of a couple of things there. One is supporting all the components inside the game itself. So now this game in particular uses DX9. So DX9 is fairly well supported, but had utilized DX11, that would be something we'd have to specifically look at to make sure that was fully supported. There's no .NET, but if .NET was being utilized, that is something we have to look at for support. So there's kind of aspects of some things still work in Wine, and some things don't work in Wine. We've got to figure out the things that don't work or aren't well supported and figure out exactly what needs to be done to fully support those aspects of the game. From there, it's looking at, you know, different distros, and we try to work with the developer of the game to narrow down the distro so that they're not trying to boil the ocean. And by that, you don't want to support 40 different distros, because you're not going to have a lab set up with 40 different computers or one computer with 40 different distros on it trying to run that and test that for every user. You want to narrow it down to specifically, you know, a handful of different distros that are pretty prevalent and that are going to be utilized by your customer base, and from there kind of work out. So if you do get a request for a number of licenses, or if you do get you know, people demanding a certain type of support, you're able to do so readily, but really focus on just a handful of things right away. And, you know, of course, we always say Ubuntu, and we always say Debian, and we always say, you know, looking at those, we also tell people a lot of, you know, especially the ones that are running on Valve or Steam, that, you know, take a look at the Steam OS. So you have that type of platform to work from too, and then, you know, there's other platforms depending on their game and their needs and what they like, that we try to kind of guide them towards as well.
you're mentioning the supporting handful of distros and stuff like that. How do you decide like what distros are worth supporting? Like, I guess Ubuntu is like one of the key ones. Like, do you have any other indication in terms of market share as to which one should be the key choices out there?
No, we don't necessarily look at market share. We look at, component support. So are there distros that have good graphics drivers? Are there distros that have good controller support? Are there distros that are essentially very stable? Those are the ones that we tend to gravitate towards because those are the ones that tend to perform better over time. Fortunately for us, that also tends to be the distros that a lot of people tend to utilize. And then there's also, specific distros that tend to appeal to newer users. Ubuntu is always one that's very popular, so people are kind of comfortable with that. We've been looking at Arch Linux lately. We've looked at Mint. We've looked at, a lot of different types of application or distros out there, to determine, what are other distributions that people are playing a lot of games on in particular, and trying to build support for those specific platforms. But you tend to find, tend to look for the ones that have the best graphics driver, the most stable graphics drivers, and the best controller support, because those are the ones that people will gravitate towards for their own games. I mean, they're going to want to play their games as on a platform that's going to provide them with the most bang for their buck in terms of most best performance. So our interests are aligned in that regard.
When you mentioned that person said has a successful interaction with you in terms of having this port possible with crossover, do you have the opposite case happening sometimes where you get in touch or if a developer or they get in touch with you and unfortunately you say like actually currently we Wine or crossover cannot support you at this stage because we are not there yet. Do these kind of things happen as well?
Oh, they do. One of the biggest issues right now for us, 64-bit support on the Mac platform, and that's something that we're working through, and we've been able to provide support for as of late. But the other issue that we also look at is DX11 support on the Mac platform, and that is trickier, because Apple is looking at a couple of different technologies right now in terms of graphics support, and the Metal platform, isn't necessarily compatible with DX11. So that's something that we're trying to figure out for our customers that are looking to port their games to the Mac platform, but still require DX11 support. And there's a lot of games out there that are kind of fitting that role right now, that are kind of waiting to see what is going to happen here in the coming months with Apple in regard to DX11 support, and in particular OpenGL. And from there we can kind of figure out, how we can help them. But for right now, there's not a whole lot we can do until this is resolved. So that's kind of an example of, where we love to help more game developers, but we just don't have good answers right now. Hopefully soon.
Okay. Thanks for your answers. Now, seeing as there are many games on Steam and they don't have a native Linux client, but could potentially run very well in Wine. So, what exactly does it take to get such a game to port it onto Linux or to Mac?
Well, for those developers that have a game that would very well in the Wine technology, it's fairly straightforward at that point. What we do is, when you look at porting in general, is we're essentially wrapping our technology around their Windows executable. So you take a look at their game, their launcher. We essentially wrap our technology around it, which then, if we're looking at the Mac platform, kind of spoofs the application itself to thinking it's running in Windows, and yet at the same time kind of spoofs the OS into thinking it's running a native Mac application. And that in very vague terms is kind of what we do, is if we can provide that translation layer. So if a game runs well in Wine today, those translations, in particular the API calls from the game to the OS and to the OS of the game, tend to be very fast, tend to run very well. There's not a whole lot of work involved in then porting that application to getting them to that platform. If the game, for whatever reason, doesn't work 100%, let's say a menu, top line menu doesn't display correctly, or maybe the window size isn't quite right, or maybe the colors are off, then we would have to look into that application and see what exactly has to be done, or what API calls being missed, or what component isn't being activated in a correct sequence, just to see if we can make that work. And then from there, it's a matter of kind of tracking that down, triaging it, fixing those bugs specific to that game. Then there are just some things that just don't work in Wine. And we typically then try to go back to the developer and say, listen, well, for whatever reason, the way that you're bringing up this menu isn't going to work. We can't display it correctly. It keeps hiding behind the main window. Is there a way that you can change something on your end, in particular the Z order, to make this work? And, we try to work with them to do that. Now, sometimes it's very easy for the developer to do that, but sometimes our requests are very hard, and it's just not something that they're able or easy to do, are willing to do. So there's that technical piece, and there's the business side piece, and that's where the Windows developer says to themselves, are we going to make enough money selling our game on another platform that it'll pay for the support, it'll pay for the development, it'll pay for the maintenance, it'll pay for utilizing this company Codeweavers to essentially do this work for us. And we try to make those costs as reasonable as possible, but at the same point in time, that's something that the developer has to kind of work through, because that can be kind of daunting. You know what the Windows costs are because you live in the Windows world every day, but now all of a sudden I'm adding a second platform or a third platform. And, now do I have to have certain hardware on site? How am I going to manage, when people call in and they have an issue or a bug? How am I going to, do I have to add support people in order to handle that? So again, it's a big decision. It's a commitment on their part, just like it is to start a business to develop Windows games. It's a commitment on their part to go forward and do this. But for things that work really well out of the box, we've got a great solution for these companies and help them grow their business and expand their reach into other platforms and hopefully help them generate additional revenue from utilizing the same code base that they built for Windows.
So you mentioned there are some cases where Wine works already very well with some games. So let's take the assumption that we have a certain set of games that are 100% supported with Wine or Crossover. Yep. For those games, so that are already out there, do not have an official Linux support, is there anything you are currently doing to approach those publishers, those developers, to let them know that, actually, we can do the Linux port for you, and we already know it's going to run very well. Is that something you typically do, or are you more on a reactive mode? You're waiting for them to contact you in the first place?
No, actually, we reach out quite a bit, just like we did, with Alexander. We look for these types of games and games that run. We're constantly looking at new games, and games that are coming out, Steam Greenlight, for example, and we're looking at games that have, a Windows version or a Windows and Mac version, but do not have a Linux version, and actively contacting these companies to see if this is something that they'd be interested in. And unfortunately, it's not a message that's resonating very well with a lot of developers, but it's starting to catch on a little bit. I think as SteamOS continues to grow and becomes more popular, as Steam machines become more prevalent, maybe not necessarily to the level that consoles are today, but as Steam machines continue to gain in popularity, I think there's going to be a bigger opportunity for these game developers to get on the Linux platform. Valve already has over 1,000 titles, I believe, on Linux today, and that continues to grow because there's interest out there. I think Linux is maybe maturing from kind of what a platform that was designed initially for enthusiasts to really something that a gamer would look at and say, yeah, I can utilize this for playing my games. I can run this. I can customize this how I want. And there's games out there that I like that I can play that are readily available to me. So I think this is going to continue to grow. But Right now, today, if someone's got a Windows or Windows and Mac game out there, and we see these people, we're constantly sending them emails and trying to get them to look at this type of technology and look at this platform and take Linux very seriously, because we think it's a potentially a great opportunity for a lot of these companies.
You mentioned that some of the answers you get are that they're apparently not interested by your services. Do they mention the reason why? Is it like they don't want a Linux client in the first place, or they're worried about support, or they don't care about the kind of market Linux is?
Well, the number one thing we hear people say is, I never get a request for we just don't have any interest. And I always compare that to the analogy of, you never walk into a bank asking for a cheeseburger, because you just don't expect to get a cheeseburger at your bank. And the same thing is true for a lot of Linux users, is they just don't expect Windows developers to give them the same level of consideration that they give to Windows and Mac users, for the most part. So a lot of Linux users aren't out there, clamoring for these types of games. So I think there's kind of a misconception of how many Linux users are out there. And I think there's also kind of a misconception of how big this market is. But also the potential for this market. The other thing that we always tell Windows developers is that there's not, a lot of AAA titles. I mean, there are more, but there's not a ton of AAA titles in the Linux space today. And that in and of itself is an opportunity. It's hard to get a AAA title in the Windows market today, because there's so many, quote unquote AAA titles. But in Linux, I mean, you're not battling with thousands of other high-end applications, you're battling with hundreds of other high-end applications, and you can further break that down into specific types of games that people like and people want and people would pursue. So there's a chance for a developer to grab a broader level of interest in the Linux platform that they wouldn't necessarily get in the Windows or the Mac platform. So we're always trying to encourage people to really take it seriously, because there is an opportunity. But if there's one thing that they say to us, it's I just don't have any interest. I don't have any, and I don't have anybody asking for that. And they're not going to build a game for a platform they don't think there's any interest in.
So I think the key word you say is misconception there. So is there anything we can do as gamers in our communities, in our Linux gaming communities, to actually help things change? Is there anything that you think would be effective to help those publishers like turn around?
Well, I think continuing to do what Boiling Steam is doing, and that making Linux gaming, making people more aware of Linux gaming, I think is important. I think people need to keep understanding that there is a viable platform with Linux for game development and for users. So I think, continuing that message is, I think, critical. I think also when, we look at reviewing games and things like that, I think we should make a bigger point of pointing out, they have a Windows version or Windows and Mac version, but they don't have a Linux version, or they don't have a supported Linux version. And encouraging that those end users that are playing that game on the Linux platform or want to play that game on the Linux platform, make sure that their developers know that. Make sure that they know that, hey, if you had a Linux game, I'd be playing it. I'd be buying it. And to kind of make sure that people understand that there is interest and there is a market. And, it isn't going to apply for every single game, but when you see a lot of the game titles that are out there and the opportunity for Linux gamers, telling people about your favorite game and the Windows developer about your favorite game and trying to get them to understand that there is interest on non-Windows platform, I think is big. So encouraging your end users, your readers, your followers to go out and reach out to those developers, I think is also important. I think it's also important too to talk to indie developers, and that's what I spend a good portion of my time doing too. To let smaller game companies know that here's an opportunity for you. This is a vast openness of market possibility that you can get your game title out to and fairly readily to take a good look at it because Steam is Valve is very interested in getting those titles to Steam and there's a good opportunity to do so right now and to take advantage of it while kind of the iron's hot. There's great opportunity to market your market your game to Linux users. And in doing so, you're also making people aware of your game for other platforms such as Windows. So there's kind of that effect. And we talk to people, you know, game developers who say that I brought my game to Linux. And yeah, while I made money on the Linux platform, more people heard about my game, and I even sold more Windows licenses. I even sold more Mac licenses as a result. So it's helped me kind of increase awareness. It's also helped me build, you know, the next version of my game, you know, version 2 or version 3 or version 4, and help sustain those sales when those products reach the market. So there's a lot of opportunity for indie game developers right now in the Linux space, and we definitely want to help them kind of, you know, recognize some of that revenue possibility if it's something they're interested in.
So do you have any recent success story in being able to have an application work under Linux?
Well, we've had a lot of things work under Linux lately. We did work for a lot of King's Isle titles, Wizard 101. I have 40 million users. We've done work for Wargaming on the World of Tanks and the World of Warships, but they don't necessarily call that officially a Linux support. They're just things that now work in Linux. We have worked with iRacing. iRacing has an official Linux client. That is the most realistic racing simulator in the world. They have all the tracks, all the cars. That's actually an incredible product. If you enjoy racing, there's probably not a better simulator out there. I hate to even call it game, just because it is as good as it is. You know, we've done things with Vanguard Princess. They're getting ready to release their official Linux version. We've done things with Sid the Dummy. They have a Linux version that's out there on Steam. But I think iRacing is probably the most prevalent. And then, you know, we've done things for other companies, again, things I can't necessarily talk about, where we've provided support for their unsupported Linux version, I think is what you'd best say. You know, they test it and they make sure it works, but they don't necessarily claim support for it. And there's a number of games out there that are doing that today.
All right. So we talked last year, just you and me, James, regarding the future of Wine and especially DirectX 11 support at that stage. And the original plan was to have apparently close to full support by the end of 2015. And we know that, you know, it was probably a little bit delayed compared to that time. Can you tell us what has happened since last year? What is the current state, and when do you think we'll reach a stage where, like DirectX 11, will be able to support a number of games out there?
Those are all very, very good questions. In talking to my graphics team, we do now have DirectX 11 support for a handful of games today. Things that we're able to run in Wine and Crossover utilizing DirectX 11. Broader DirectX 11 support is, you know, one of those projects where, you know, our developers will look at it both, you know, from a game by game standpoint, but they're also looking at it as they continue to build the framework. We got stalled a little bit last year. We did lose one of our top game developers who was very focused on the technology. He went to work for a different company. So that kind of hampered us a little bit, but we have hired people specifically for these tasks, and it's coming along. At GDC earlier this year, we were able to show Gauntlet running. We were able to show a couple other games running that required DirectX 11, and actually ran fairly well, run fairly well today. So there is hope that what we've put into place, is as long and as painful as the process has been, is starting to pay off, and that framework has gotten to be very solid. It's taking us a lot more time than we anticipated, just because we're a little bit shorthanded in regards to that. So we're working on that. The other thing is that, and this has probably, you know, sucked a little bit of the air out of out of our, you know, what we wanted to accomplish is that, you know, there isn't really a DirectX 11 strategy right now for Apple. You know, and that, you know, as we get back, you know, previously to our numbers, you know, the 60-40 split between, you know, Mac and Linux users, that's a, you know, the majority of our market is, you know, currently are what we perceive to be Mac users. And we don't really have a strategy. Even if we were to produce something, it wouldn't necessarily run on that platform until Apple updates their OpenGL libraries. So there's that deterrent. But we have we do have people working on this specifically for Linux, and like I said, we were able to display things running in Linux, running fairly well earlier, and we, you know, we'll continue to do so. But it's just taking us again longer than I think we'd ever anticipated, and we're hoping that this changes in the future as we're able to continue building the framework. Things get easier and faster. That's kind of the hope, as more and more of the foundation is in place. Kind of like when you build a house, once you have the foundation set, it's easy to add windows, easy to add doors, but you have to get that foundation up and running first. And that's kind of where we are in terms of DirectX 11 support. Our hope is that we do have something that's a little more broadly available to end users by the end of this year. If not sooner, we're hoping actually to be able to release with the next version of Crossover that initial DirectX 11 support we were able to display at GDC, so we're actually able to get into more people's hands. And then once we're able to get into more people's hands, they can start testing a broader range of games, and then we can start getting feedback as to what bugs are out there, so we can start fixing those, and that process starts where we start getting things better and better and better and better. And as we do, more and more things run and run well. And then as we do, more and more games run, you know, and hopefully that'll continue. That's been the hallmark of Wine development for, you know, the past 20 years, is that, you know, we try to get something in the hands of our users right away, and they kind of test the heck out of things and let us know what works and what doesn't work. And we start fixing the most prevalent things until everything runs perfectly. It's a slow process, but developing in Wine is a slow process, so that's not necessarily unusual.
So how about for a specific title, what about Overwatch? That is an insanely popular game. That's a game that I've played myself, and I have put over 30 hours to it. It's just addicting. But in any case, do you think you'll have support for that anytime soon?
I don't know the answer to that. I do know that we have a number of people here in-house that are playing Overwatch. I have a couple of people coming to me wanting me to play Overwatch on a regular basis and familiar with it. I'm a huge Team Fortress 2 guy, so they're all like, Overwatch, 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 it's so much better. So, you know, it's definitely a title that's on our radar. You know, whether or not that can be supported, it's not supported today. But I'm hoping that it can be supported. I mean, Blizzard has been very good, I think, in terms of the Linux community. I mean, World of Warcraft, you know, runs in Linux, and that's not by accident. You know, they I'm not saying they're deliberately building for Linux, but they're definitely not adverse to helping the Linux community out. I think Blizzard's a great company in that regard, especially the Linux community. So, you know, it may be that this is something we can eventually port. So I wouldn't rule it out. I just know that, you know, it's probably not the next game on the list of games that we're triaging, just because it is a very complicated, large platform game, but it's definitely one that our people are playing internally and love. So, that's usually how things start. I mean, you get passionate for the game. You want to see your game run. And people take it like that, their game. It's their game that they want to see run on Linux. And then it's a matter of time before they start working on it and working on it and working on it until they get some things to run and then more things to run, and then they get other people involved and they get things to run. Yeah, that's how it gets started. So there's already that passion in place, and people really do like that game.
Okay. I hope we'll see Overwatch maybe this year, running with Wine. My personal interest, but Witcher 3, is there any idea whether that would run anytime soon with DirectX 11 support? I mean, you don't have to have a precise answer, but is it something that's on your radar as well?
Yeah. That's another game we have a couple people playing. So I don't know if that's, I think that's probably closer than Overwatch, but I don't necessarily know if there's a timeline for that support. But yeah, we do have people that are playing that in house too. So.
All right. We've seen, as you mentioned earlier, like the DX9 pipeline support has been, you know, getting very, very good in wine and crossover over time. How about the kind of performance we can expect from DirectX 11 onwards? Like, do you think it's going to be kind of slow in the beginning and, you know, kind of getting better and better performance-wise over time? Or do you think we could expect something as close as DirectX 9, which is almost, you know, very close to, you know, the kind of Windows performance? So do you have any idea at this stage?
Well, you know, that's also a good question. That's one that we've bantered about in specific to a couple of titles. And the answers that we believe are that DirectX 11 support is probably going to be runs to DirectX 9 support. And that, you know, if a game running in Wine or in Cross runs at about 85 or 90% of what it would run in Windows, you know, talking specifically about, you know, frame rate, if we're using that as a measure for performance, we think that's probably pretty comparable to how that title would run, a DirectX 11 title would run. So the DirectX 9 version of that game runs at 85 or 90%. We think the DirectX 11 version of that game is going to run about 85 to 90%. We don't think there's going to be an additional performance hit above and beyond what Wine suffers or what the hardware suffers from not being optimized in terms of driver support today. So we think that the support is actually going to be very comparable in that regard. But we also think that this may be, you know, game by game. It's definitely something we're going to have to test and know more about. But our theory right now is that it's going to be quite good once it's going. It's going to be more along the lines of DX9 than it is going to be an additional performance hit that users would experience or face.
That sounds very promising. You just mentioned about you know, the drivers right now. A quick question about that: do you find yourself like experiencing, you know, driver bugs whenever you try to add new features in Wine? And if you do, are you in contact or in touch with AMD or NVIDIA to help them fix those bugs and you know, make sure like those will be addressed in later versions of their drivers?
Well, you know, we try. You know, we're kind of stuck with the drivers that they build for the different Linux platforms and the different graphics cards. I think NVIDIA, as of late, has been much more responsive to both the Mac platform and the Linux platform than maybe they were a couple of years ago. It wasn't unusual, you know, a few years ago, someone would grab an off-the-shelf NVIDIA graphics card and they would stick it in a Linux PC, and then they would, you know, hodgepodge a graphics driver together, you know, based on what NVIDIA had, or trying to make, you know, a similar graphics driver that was compatible for Linux work for a different type model graphics card that didn't have one out of the box. But, you know, we do reach out to these companies if we see something. We also reach out to the Linux distros if we see that the graphics driver that they're using isn't maybe the most compatible or foreseeing issues with it. I think we probably experience that a bit more than other developers do, just from the standpoint that you're trying to run a Windows-based application or game on the Linux platform, and you know, you're testing it so much on Windows, so you know what the performance is supposed to be like on Windows, and you bring it to the Linux platform and you notice a degradation in performance, and you start looking at is it the Wine technology, is it the Linux distro, is it the graphics card, and you really have to spend a lot of time triaging exactly where those bugs are and trying to fix those bugs. And you come across some things that are, you know, pretty obvious, and when they're graphics related, you know, we're starting to see that maybe it's the graphics driver, and then, you know, what the steps are to get that resolved. But again, at least our experience with NVIDIA is that they are being more responsive to Linux users, and we're starting to see, you know, better graphics drivers for Linux users. I don't necessarily know if that's completely across the board for every distro, but for the distros that we're testing internally, it seems like things have gotten better, so that seems to be less and less of an issue. But whenever it is, you know, we're out there trying to work with people to get that resolved, because being that Wine is not perfect, it's very easy to blame Wine if something doesn't work. So we're trying to get out from underneath that cloud. If it's something that we can't fix in our technology, at least identify where that issue is so that it can get fixed.
Yeah, the problem, if Linus didn't give that middle finger to the camera, I don't think NVIDIA would have done anything different.
Yep.
Good for him. All right, yep. So now the Vulkan SDK has been officially released a couple months back, and some major engines have incorporated initial support for that API. Yep. So with that in mind, do you have any plans beyond DirectX 11?
Yeah, it's certainly within the scope. You know, it's going to take a while before DirectX 12 becomes a real focus for us. It's you know, more likely that we're going to, you know, be focusing on DirectX, Direct 3D 11 and Direct 3D 9 before we get to Direct 3D 12. But it is definitely on our roadmap, and we're definitely talking to people about it right now. And there is a lot of interest in the community, the Linux community specifically, about getting support for Vulkan and how that would be done. So, it's definitely something we're addressing and we're looking at. And you know, in terms of the roadmap, you know, it's difficult to kind of say where that fits. You know, we still have DirectX 11 that we need to get done, but it's definitely going to be on our roadmap. We've definitely seen that technology becoming prevalent, especially as game developers are starting to incorporate that or looking at that now for games that we know will be released in 2018, 2019, 2020. We're going to kind of get ahead of that curve instead of behind that curve. And that's something that, you know, reasonably is possible. You know, that Vulkan support for crossover and for Vulkan support for crossover and for Linux users is definitely something that is possible. It's not outside the realm of possibilities. So that is something that we're going to have to address. So yes, it's on the roadmap. We are becoming very informed and taking some initial steps for that support. But again, it may not be on the immediate roadmap, but it is on.
Okay.
So are we talking about DirectX 12 supports to Vulkan, or are you more in general talking about the implementation of Vulkan inside the core of Wine as another type of renderer that would benefit all, you know, the current implementation of DirectX 9 to 11?
We're looking at it as kind of a translation between Vulkan and DirectX 12. So we're thinking along those lines. So we're not thinking necessarily native Vulkan support. We're thinking Vulkan support through kind of a translation layer.
Right.
So that's really kind of what we're focused on, because that's technically how our software technology works. So it would be something that we would implement in that manner. But again, we think there's a fairly clear path for being able to do that. So we think that's a project that once we get some of our other ducks in a row, we'd be able to take on, you know, in the immediate future. Again, there's no real hard timeline on it, but it is on the roadmap.
So you mentioned earlier about the difficulty of currently supporting DirectX 11 with the Mac platform. How does the things look like when you're talking about DirectX 12 support for Mac with their Metal API? Is there something that's going to be slightly easier to bridge, or do you still see some kind of issues there?
You know, that is very, very difficult to assess right now in light. So it's difficult to kind of determine, you know, what is going to happen in that regard. So it's tough to say. Now, these are conversations that we have had internally. But when we look at, you know, Vulcan support, we look at it in context primarily. We're not necessarily looking at that in terms of Mac. I think only because we don't know where Apple's going to be in regard to their support for graphics libraries and you know, different graphics versions in the coming months, weeks, years. You know, but I think once they have their path figured out, and if that path is metal, then we'd have to look at, you know, what are the options to essentially port through or have a translation layer for metal. Because, you know, that's something that'll have to be looked at too. It's just it you know, you start getting, you know, each circle outside of the core, you know, you start kind of figuring, okay, well, we can maybe do this, we can maybe, and you get to a point, you know, until there's some sort of clear path from Apple, it's tough to determine, you know, what that technology is going to be.
Okay. So now the ultimate question here that I think we'll all be interested in knowing the answer to is the Linux gaming community themselves. Is there something that we can do to help the Wine or the Crossover project? Is there anything that you would recommend us to do?
Well, can I recommend that everybody buys a license as possible for Linux? If I could do that, that would be great. That'd be a good first start. I would hope that if that maybe some of the best ways that the Linux community can help is reaching out to us a little bit about some of the things that they want to see supported, about some of the things concerned about. You know, we sometimes take for granted that they just want what everybody else wants, and that isn't necessarily true. So if there's an opportunity out there to you know, make people happy, you know, we're happy to do that. Our you know, our core guys are all Linux guys. I mean, our core graphics guys are, you know, Alexander Juilliard, you know, our container, they're all Linux guys. I mean, they want to see Linux do really, really well. But we kind of need to know, you know, what it is in Linux that needs to be done really, really well. So if there's an opportunity for people to reach out to us directly and say, hey, you know, these are some of the things we're concerned about, or go out to our trial page, and let us know about the applications that you want to support. It's very easy to kind of type those applications in, and we'll see what we can do to support those applications and give people joy. If there are people out there that are, you know, working for different software developers and they want to see their software on the Linux platform, we hope that they take that seriously and either work with us or you know, go out to Wine directly and start looking at Wine. Because the more games and the more applications that are brought to the Linux environment and ecosystem, the more interest there'll be to bring other things to the Linux ecosystem and environment. And when you do that, it kind of snowballs in a very positive way. You're getting more game developers. When they look at releasing a game, they're automatically thinking, well, we got to have a Linux version. I mean, we got to be bringing it to Linux. Because they know there's a market there that's going to support it. There's a user group there that's going to be interested in it. It's going to be, you know, advocates and disciples for their game. But if people don't understand that, or hold on to some of the perceptions people have about Linux users, about they don't like to buy software and that they're not interested in doing things like that, which we find to be totally untrue. Then there's not going to be this overwhelming interest in kind of continuing to build for Linux. You know, if you look at what's happened to Android over the past few years, you know, people when they release a game now, they're something on the Android platform, whether it's a menu for the game or whether it's a side game for the game, or just because they know there's so many people that are going to be there on that platform that they'll get people playing their side game that they'll then go back out and buy the Windows game. I think EA was pretty successful with their launch of the latest Star Wars platform, just be able to do that. So, you know, you're looking at, you know, things like that. Well, that's kind of what the Linux community needs to be. They need to make sure that people understand, hey, we're a viable market. We're a great market. We have passionate people. We love games. We want to play games. We want to pay for games. We want to pay for good games. and let people know that, so that, that people will continue to build and support their market to the same level and effort that they do for Windows and same level and effort they do for Mac. I think if we can do that, then I think, you know, these things will continue to grow and Linux gamers will continue to have more joy in the future.
Okay. That concludes the discussion for today. Thank you very much, James, for being part of our show today and shedding us a little bit of light as to the crossover project and what the plans are for it in the future. To find out more about what we do and what we write about, please visit BoilingSteam.com. Our previous podcast was with Professor Chaos64 in regards to SteamOS and how he extended it. So in the event that you've missed it, we encourage you to check that out. We also have a newsletter and an RSS feed, so you can subscribe to those so that you don't miss out on any of our future articles or podcasts. If you would like to contact us, give us feedback, or have a specific request, you can do so through our contact page. Thank you for listening today, and we will be back again soon with a new episode. The music that you've heard in this podcast is brought to you by Justin Mehar, titled The Grind, which is distributed under the Common Creative License.